If you remember in our last study that we were talking about, that we're all going somewhere. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10 talks about Abraham. God had made a promise to Abraham. He had made a promise to Isaac, and he made a promise to Jacob. And in them, that all nations of the earth was going to be blessed. And so as we think about that and realize that all of us, we are going somewhere. And so as we continue on with that thought and realizing that when we think about that, we want to think about the thought that how that some, of course, today are in travel, and how that maybe that they are traveling. And so as we think about the way in which that some are traveling, because every one of us is going to go somewhere. It's just a matter of time. Fortunate for us that time is still yet on our side. But some are traveling in their lives in order that they want to fill their lives with pleasure. When we look at the Bible, we find that in the book of Galatians chapter 6, we see here that Paul, of course, as he writes to those at Galatia, and he encourages them, and he talks about, even in the very early part of the chapter, talks about if a brother would be overtaken in a fault. He says, you who are spiritual, that you restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, but consider yourself, lest that you also be tempted. And then he says, for us as Christians, that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this is the responsibility of us as Christians. As we travel here in this world as pilgrims, we realize that we are headed for an eternity. And so we as Christians should make an effort to fulfill the law of Christ. I know it was some time that I had, you know, began to read and looking at the scriptures and found out where that we were pilgrims, and then on another place where I found out that you're no longer pilgrims, and I try to ravel that in my head and try to figure out, well, what's he talking about? And I realized that, you know, God has given us, that is us Gentiles, an opportunity that we could have salvation just as a Jew had the opportunity. Although the Jew was God's first chosen, yet we now have access to the same God in which that they have access to, and we can have the same salvation as they have. Because God is no respecter of person when it comes to our salvation. And so we do the same thing that they did on the day of Pentecost. We become a part of the same church that they became a part of. And so in Galatians chapter 6, we see here that Paul is saying to be not deceived in verse 7. To be not deceived, God is not mocked. And you look at people of the world and their ideal of, you know, good, their ideal of pleasure, their ideal of feeling great is nothing about God whatsoever, but it's more on the line of what the world looks at as making us happy. You talk to people about different things in life, and especially some of the issues of the scripture that the scripture deals with. You talk to those in which that are involved in homosexuality. They think, well, don't you believe that God will want me to be happy? Don't you believe that God will want me to have fun in this life? Sure, God wants us to be happy. Sure, God wants us to have pleasures in this life, but those things are not wrapped up in the worldly things, because those things will bring forth eternal death for us. And we can look at a lot of other areas. But yet, he says to be not deceived. God's not mocked. In other words, you don't make mock of what God has said. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And I can say this for, especially to those that are young. Be careful of the seed that you sow, because one day there's going to be a harvest. One day you're going to be able to see the results or the growth of that seed in which that you sow. And no doubt you probably have talked with people that have sown their way of life, and then in later years of their lives they look back and wish that they had never did what they did. But they did it. They did it. And so he says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall out of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he shall out of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I like the next phrase of that, especially in verse 9. And this is a great encouragement to us as Christians. And says, let us not be weary in well-doing. How many times as a Christian, and that walk in which that you're living, that you just felt like that the whole world was coming together on you, and you just wanted to throw up your hands and quit? That you just wanted to give up? Because after all, you think, well, God's supposed to be on my side, and look where I am, look what I'm going through, look all the persecution, difficulty, and thing I've gotten this life, and so I just might as well give up and quit. Quit trying to do what's right. But he said, don't be worrying well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you don't give up. And we can be assured of that God will, in his time, bring forth that harvest. There have been those who have lived good, faithful lives to the Lord, and yet maybe their spouses were not Christians, but after their death, then their spouse decided to become a Christian by the life in which that they lived. And so we are not to become discouraged, because when we sow good seed, we know that good seed will germinate. And sometimes the seed in which that we sow, we may not want it to germinate. We may want to live our lives of pleasure and praying to God that there is a harvest failure. We don't want it to. We don't want that harvest. We don't want to reap what we have sown. But we also notice that in the book of Galatians chapter 5, we find that it tells us in this particular passage, in verse 16, he says, then he said, for this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust thereof. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust thereof. But what does that mean to us? Well, we realize that when we're walking the way that God wants us to walk, when we're walking according to the message in which that the Spirit has revealed to us, then we know we're going in the right path, we're traveling in the right direction, and we know as long as we do what God says, what God requires, that we will not be fulfilling those things of the world. we won't be doing those things. It's when we stop doing what God requires of us to do, that's when we start doing the things that are of the world. That's when we commit sin. When we go against what God said, when we violate what God has said. 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, because sin is the transgression of the law. And so we walk in the way in which that God wants us to walk. God has taught us how to walk. God has told us. It's not some little voice that we might hear that comes over us. The way some people have the ideal about the Spirit. That the Spirit will simply, you know, tell you everything that you're supposed to do in this life. No. That's why we're supposed to study the Word of God. And that's what the psalmist had pointed out. His Word, he said, thy Word I've hid in my heart. Why did you do that? That I may not sin against you. In other words, that I know what you want me to do, and I know the way you want me to live, and so your Word is directing me and guiding me that I can walk that path the way I should walk it. And when I step out of the line, then I know I'm not walking in that light. As 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But there are those who do not want to walk the way that God wants them to walk. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that we have those who stop right there and they will say, well, now, you know, when you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. You'll never be condemned again. And that's the ideal of being once saved, always saved. But the thing is, once we're saved, we need to stay saved. It's not that we're always saved, but we got to stay saved. And you know, maybe that'd be a good thought for us. What must I do to keep saved? Not what I should do to be saved, but what must I do to keep saved? There's things in which that we got to do. Surely there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But you see, just as we can get in the boat and go out into the water, we can also step out of the boat and get into the water. The same thing is true with Christ. We can get into him, we can get out of him. But he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending forth his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and condemning sin in the flesh for us. That the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us, or completed in us. We are a special people in this world. But you know, there are those who don't want to walk that way. Why? Because they want to seek their pleasure, their ideals, their things. But Paul continued on. Verse 5, for they that are in the flesh, or those that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Where does our peace come from? Well, sometimes people may say, well, it's just too much trouble to be a Christian. Well, the thing about it is, you don't really know what trouble is if you're not a Christian, if you leave this world. Then you'll find out what trouble really is. Jesus talked about that peace in which that he was going to give. And he said, it's not like the world gives. The apostles even talked about those, and the prophets talked about those. They would come and say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And we find that the world is in that area, is in that category. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. They have not the peace of God. They don't have that. And so Paul says, the carnal mind is not, in other words, is not following the way that God wants it to be done. Because in verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, in my growing up and in my time of living, that it seems as though that the world has changed so much since I was a small child. It's changed so rapidly. And probably, no doubt, we've got more Bibles now than we had then. And probably got more access to the Word of God than had then. But why? Why is it? Well, it's simply because that nobody wants to listen to God. They don't want to listen to God. And those who say, I listen to God every day, very few, if any, picks up a Bible. How can you be listening to God if you don't hear His message through the Word? We find in chapter 6 of Romans that Paul points out some of those in which that were walking, and these people had been walking in this direction. They were walking in a way in which to feel their own pleasures, their own ideals in life. And so we find that Paul says in verse 19, "You speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity." Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. When you were the servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. You didn't have to even think about when you was a servant of sin. You didn't have to think about, well, what day is it? Well, it's Sunday. And, well, what I do on Sunday? Well, I usually get up and I go to services. And I worship. But now, if you're a sinner, you don't have to worry about that. You don't even have to think about that, because that's not part of your life that you're living. Well, what day is it? Well, it's Wednesday. Well, what do you do on Wednesday? Well, usually, as a Christian, you go to worship services someplace. But as a sinner, you don't have to worry about that, because that's not a part of your mind. Because you're wanting to do what you want to do. You're wanting to live your pleasure. You want to live your life, your style, your way of doing things. That's what you want to do. And that's the walk that you're walking. Verse 21 said, "What fruit had you then if those things whereof you are now ashamed?" What fruit had you then if those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is happiness, joy, peace. That's what he said, was it? For the end of those things is death. But now, you see the difference as he describes these people? Now remember, he's talking about the same people by name, but he's talking about, you're a different people. There has been a change made. They're no longer that same person in which that they once was. Their minds have been changed, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. The great blessings that God pronounces upon those who are walking in the way that they should walk. Those in which that are walking in a way in which that not to feel their own pleasures. But drop over back, if you will, into the book of Luke chapter 8. And here we find the account given, and Jesus talks about the sower who went forth to sow seed. Keep in mind, there was nothing wrong with the sower because he did what he was supposed to do. And there was nothing wrong with the seed because the seed did germinate and come forth. But you know and I know that you can have the best seed that money could buy, and you set it on your shelf and let it sit there. When you go look at it, it's going to be seed. That's all it's going to be. That's all it's going to be. But you can take that same seed, if it's taken care of properly, can plant it 100 years from that date, and it will be good. There's something about that seed that makes it germinate. There's life that God gave it. And there's life in this seed that God has given us. Luke 8 and verse 11. But here the seed was sown. And then it talks about in verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Probably no doubt that some of you who have done very much gardening or planting like that, you get that little old vine that comes up out of the ground and it'll wrap around your good vines, and it'll kill them. It'll choke them to death. You know, what time that seed, good seed, is being sown, there are those out there sowing the bad seed as well. Sowing bad seed as well. And so here we find that these individuals had received the word of God, and it says they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Does that mean that God doesn't want us to have a good time in this life? God wants us to have a joyful life. He wants us to have a happy life. Just read Matthew 5 and looking at the Beatitudes. Happy, 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 happy. Blessed, 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 blessed. He wants us to be happy. But our joy is not in the things of the world. Our joy is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Our rejoicing, you see, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Were they happy? I believe they were. I believe they were. Although they had been beaten and put in prison, they had something to rejoice about. Because you see, they had something that the world didn't have. And so here we find that Jesus is talking about this fruit or this production was not what it was supposed to be. Brought no fruit. As Christians sometime in our walk of life, we can let things of the world bog us down as well. And we may not be walking the way that we should be walking. You see, as Christians, we're to be different from the world. We're not traveling in this world to feel our pleasures, earthly pleasures. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to be found approved of God. Remember what Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Being approved of God. In Romans 6 and verse 4, it talked about the fact that we are to, when we become Christians, to walk in newness of life, a new life. We're to walk in the newness of life. In other words, it's a life different than what we once lived. Sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, I just really didn't have to do any changing when I become a Christian. If there was no change took place, I'm afraid you're still yet where you was. There has to be a change. There has to be a change. Now, I do agree that there may be things in which that you was doing that were in harmony with the will of God. But what you were doing in harmony with the will of God has no effect as far as what your salvation was to God. You were lost. But yet you were doing a lot of these good things. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 say, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. There has to be a change take place. There has to be. Remember we read from Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts thereof. We are to be consistent. In other words, we are to be faithful to the service in which that we have been called into. When we, for instance, if we decide, well, I'm going to become a member or I'm going to become a soldier in the army, you go down, you sign, you enlist, and they take you in there, and the next day you say, well, I think I'll go back home right now. You don't, your mind, you know, is not guided that way. It's no longer guided by what you want to do. It's guided by what they tell you to do. But the thing about it is that, you know, the Lord's army is not necessarily like that. The fact is, we can get into the Lord Jesus Christ today and get out of him tomorrow if we want to, if we choose to. We can be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. God has forgiven us. And then maybe next week we decide, well, I don't want no more of that. And walk away from it. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That we walk worthy of that vocation wherewith we're being called. Sometimes we get a promotion in a job and it brings us up and it gives us, you know, people respect us more in that area. And we want to highly esteem that office. We want to do what's best in that position. We want to fulfill that the best that we can. So in Christianity, we have become Christians. And we're to walk worthy of that work, of that labor. It's not just an in and out business. It's something in which that we have committed ourselves to. With all long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, sometimes it is that walk. As Christians, we're somewhat like the world. We don't tolerate anything that we don't agree with. And as a Christian, we need to realize that there is some things in which that we may not see the exact eye to eye on. But does that mean that we just simply close the door? Certainly not. Certainly not. Sometimes, you know, people's opinion differ. They differ. Some may want to wear white clothes, some may want to wear dark clothes. Should we let that stop us from, well, I don't like them because they don't wear, you know. Now, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the oneness of the Spirit. It's a work. It's a labor. And so we are to be consistent. Consistency is sometimes hard. But we must with Scripture. That walk has to be a walk of love. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love. That walk has to be a walk of cautions. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly. Looking, being alert. And Jesus even pointed out to his disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. It's to be a Christ-like life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. And we are also to walk in truth. Walk in truth. 3 John, verse 3. We are to walk in that truth. And if we are walking in the truth, that's the only way that the world is going to see how to get out of darkness. We are the only light that they have. Paul, when he wrote to those at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says that ye are our epistles known and read of all men. People are reading our lives, looking at our lives. Can we make a difference in how we live to the way that the world lives? We should we not? There should be a difference in our life in the way that the world lives and the way that the world sees things. And we need to let them know that we are not just simply here walking and going through this world in order to fulfill our own pleasures. We're living in this world, doing our best as Christians to please God and to fulfill His pleasure. But if you're not a Christian, we need to realize that there is a need to respond. There is a need to be obedient to the will of God. Because all of us are going somewhere. But we choose. We choose. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation by putting your faith in Christ, turning from sin and repentance, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sin, the Lord will add you to the greatest family on earth. There's no family on earth like His. If you're subject to the invitation, you need to come. Not to get it, we stand for the same.